FM, live and local. This is the morning primetime newsmaker.
The newsmaker segment every Thursday is brought to you by MRSK Buildings, constructing all kinds of buildings from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732.
If you've been thinking about adding a building to your property, let MRSK Buildings help you every step of the way. MRSK Buildings is your stud frame and post frame building headquarters. At MRSK Buildings, they construct all types of buildings from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. At MRSK Buildings, their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732 or visit 2604 West Highway 50 across from Bluestem.
KVOE, we are live and we are local, and we're happy that you're with us on this Thursday morning, 7:22, 7 degrees, a wind chill of minus 7, and we're very pleased to be joined via the KVOE Sutherland studio line this morning by Newman Regional Health CEO Bob Wright. Bob, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are things going for you today?
Pretty well.
Good deal. Well, thank you for joining us here. We've got a lot of different angles here on the current COVID situation here at the hospital and really how that dovetails into the community. But, you know, we looked at the total numbers that came up yesterday from Lyon County Public Health. We had the announcements, too, about the testing side of things through public health, having that restricted, Healthier Lyon County having to completely clear its schedule for the rest of the month. What is the volume that you're seeing here when it comes to COVID testing at the hospital right now?
Well, this is really the busiest we've seen since the peak a year ago. So it's been steady all month, somewhere between 9 and I think yesterday we had 15 in house. So it's been very busy, and hopefully we'll get some downturn here in the next week or so, because I think everybody's getting a little bit tired.
Well said on that. Now, are you running low on your test supplies, as we've seen here with other entities around the area?
Yes. So we stood up about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, a test site just adjacent to the ER in our clinical decision unit. And we've been seeing on the busiest days 80, 90 people going through getting tested. So we have put in place a new policy now, communicated out to our physicians, and I believe it's on our website, and we're trying to get the word out. We're not going to do back-to-work testing or back-to-school testing or back-to-sports testing. We simply don't have the supplies. We have to conserve them for the sick patients that are coming into the ER and express care that need those tests for not screening but diagnostic purposes. So if patients are symptomatic, meet the criteria, we will test them. If they're just coming for those screening tests, we just don't have the supplies to do that right now.
So what is the procedure if they are showing symptoms? What do they do if they need to be tested at Newman, Bob?
Okay, if they call the line that we've published, so we've got a number out there that they can call, we will screen them on the phone, and then if they pass the screening, we'll set them up for an appointment. They can do the same thing if they can get a hold of their doctor's office, and they've got the protocols there to do the screenings as well. So. And I'm talking about a pre-exam screening. So if they're scheduled for an exam at their doctor's office, the way it's been all the way through, you're going to get screened on the phone when you're making that appointment if it's an urgent need to come in, and they may refer you to the test site if they think you need to be tested.
Bob, let's talk about the volume as far as patients are concerned, and specifically inpatient. We'll get the official dashboard here from Mackenzie Sinelli, the Director of Business Development, here probably some point in time, late morning through the mid-afternoon time period. But what is your inpatient volume right now, and how is that trending?
Okay, so let me look at it. Okay, it's 9 as of midnight last night. With one being held in an ER bed because we were full upstairs. I know a couple days ago, I think we were like up to 13 or 14 on, I believe it was Monday.
So what's the maximum you can house there, Bob?
Well, because we can't transfer them, we're going to house them all. Again, it's not a matter of beds necessarily. It's a matter of how many staff we've got available. But we were very busy last night. We had 28 patients in house. So when we're full upstairs, we have to hold them in the ER. Unfortunately, we've got a large ER and can accommodate that.
This is pretty much where you've been. And, you know, one of the things that obviously has come up at times throughout the pandemic is your staff-based capacity. And I'm assuming with your staffing numbers, that can vary pretty widely.
Well, you know, they're getting sick now, too. So that's creating a problem on both ends. The volumes coming in the door is consistently high. And now we're getting some call-ins from staff who've tested positive themselves, and then they're going to be off, you know, five to 7 days, depending on their vaccination status.
So what kind of numbers of staff do you have out? Do you have that number, Bob?
I don't know, because it changes shift to shift, so that's impossible to know. I can just see that they're holding a couple patients in the ER, which means we're full upstairs.
How is this surge, I'm sorry, Bob, but how is this surge really, or has this surge differed from the other surges that you've seen, aside from the numbers? Are you seeing, you know, as far as patient illness severity, are you seeing any differences this time around versus the past surges that you've dealt with?
I think the problem this time, it's how sustained it's been. We really haven't had a break now for, you know, almost 2-3 weeks. And the lack of beds elsewhere, patients that we would normally transfer, we're taking care of here. So we're seeing the level of patients in our ICU that's not typical for us. You know, we've had, as you know, we had so many patients on ventilators that we had a couple flown down from the state, had to use one immediately, and then that gave us another one to keep on standby. So that's the difference. We're seeing a level of patients in our ICU that, you know, is not typical for us. Typically, they're more really short-stay post-surgery patients that might have needed some respiratory support after a surgery, or cardiac patients, you know, who might have had to stay for a day after a procedure or coming into the ER. So it's just a whole different thing for us. Fortunately, we've got a great team of physicians in our ER and our hospitalist program that certainly saw these patients in their training and are capable of dealing with them. But it's something that we just haven't seen here for many, many years.
Again, talking with Newman Regional Health CEO Bob Wright on our primetime newsmaker. It is 7:28, 7 degrees, a wind chill of -7 on a Thursday morning. Bob, what kind of strain is this putting on your team of healthcare workers?
Well, it's like anything else. You know, it's beyond what we're used to seeing in the severity of illness. You know, we have to use extra equipment that they have to don and doff when they, you know, go into to see these patients. It slows down the process for them. So it's just a more constant thing. You know, when a typical med surge rounding, you know, they're going to go in and check vital signs and do all that, but they don't have to you know, put on the PAPR and that equipment and take it off and make sure that they're properly sanitizing everything in between patients. And it's just a drain to them. It adds 10 minutes or more to each of those patient visits. So it's just a constant. Where in a more typical day, you know, you can take 5 minutes in between patients and catch your breath, but that's not the case right now.
What about the, you know, the shift times and the number of workers you have, you know, accessibility to come in and work?
Well, again, it varies day to day, and you know, that's the, at night, it's the clinical resource nurse that manages all that and is calling people in, and, you know, there are folks out out sick, and they, we may not have people available, so they just have to take a look, you know, a couple more patients during that shift until the next shift comes on. So it's a constant thing that, you know, we would see on occasion, but certainly not with this frequency. So I'm sure that the house supervisors are, you know, are getting tired as well.
You've been talking, and there's been a reliance, at least in part, on contract workers here, really starting, I think, last summer, if not even earlier than that. Given the numbers that you're seeing here on the staff side, are you having to really shift more just coverage here to the contract side?
Yes. We've been, at least of late, that's the one bright note, because the surges are kind of patchy throughout the country. So they're not everywhere. So there are contract staff available. So we've been fairly successful filling the vacancies, the longer term vacancies. But it's those people that call in and they think that they're positive and they're not going to be able to work and need to wait to be tested. So it's those ones and twos that are kind of putting holes in the schedule and the staff are straining to cover that until they can go through the roster of available staff and try to call somebody in. So it's the contract staff are available to us. They're here, but again, they're to cover the current need. And when we have one or two people call in, then that, strains the staff until we can find someone to come in or we have to hold them in the ER. That's our only outlet.
Well, a shout out to the healthcare workers that are going above and beyond and have been doing so for quite some time, specifically related to COVID. Bob, off the COVID topic for just a minute, I know the American Red Cross basically gave indications earlier this year that they were in short supply of blood, and now it is at the critical level across the country. Any effects you're seeing from the critical blood supply shortage?
Yes, absolutely. So the way that it's handled now, there's an allocation that comes to us, and once we've received that allocation and they're just divvying it up equally with what they have, that's all we've got until the next allocation is available. So we happen to have some blood extender fluids that we can use and along with platelets to take the place of that. But, with where we're located, intersection of two interstate highways, we get quite a bit of trauma here. So it's not a position that we want to be in. This is really because people haven't been able to give, because of COVID restrictions. I know that the Red Cross is having staffing issues as well, like everyone else. So that's the last blood drive we had was canceled here. The way the blood is allocated, it doesn't matter where the blood's been taken. It gets distributed centrally to everyone. So the Midwest is a bigger giver of blood than the coasts. So what tends to happen is, again, because the blood gets allocated nationally, we're giving the blood, and it's going to where the population centers are based on population. So we really need people to give when they're doing blood drives. Because we benefit from that, but this is a situation nationwide apparently, and certainly impacts us as a smaller hospital pretty heavily.
One other question here too, Bob, and we'll be talking with Susan Fahler of the Red Cross Central Plains Unit for Talk of Emporia on Monday. Off of those two topics here, let's talk, maybe potential co-infections. The first one comes to mind is flu, but I've heard that there's other viruses going around and strep is going around here as well at this time.
Yeah, we talked about that at our monthly ER meeting yesterday morning. So there's, as you would expect, there's a shortage of test supplies related to that. So we have a multifactorial test that tests for four different respiratory pathogens, COVID being one of them, but also the flu and pneumonia. So we did talk with the ER docs about some alternatives that they can do. They can do a standalone test to look for flu if that's what they suspect it is. those kinds of things. So we're getting an impact there as well. Able to adapt to that. So far, we're not seeing a lot of flu yet here, but we are seeing RSV, and of course, you're always going to see pneumonia in the winter. So we're adapting to it. We're better situated than most because we have three platforms that we can run respiratory panels on or individual respiratory tests. So we're okay, but the supplies are certainly short there as well because of the, again, the need for COVID testing.
All right, and of course the visitation restrictions remain at Newman, Bob?
Yes, those obviously we're in the level three, which is our most restrictive, and we're trying to accommodate, the special needs. So if there's an individual who's in a critical situation and we've been able to transfer them out, we will let the family see them before they're transferred. You can go on our website because they're kind of specific to the type of patient, whether it's an obstetrical patient or a med-surg patient or whether it's an end-of-life situation. So, people that are wanting to visit, they can go on the website and see what the specific requirements are. But in general, we don't want visitors unless we're in those critical situations.
Any suggestions to the public on how we can stem this tide, Bob?
I wish I knew. It's the same thing. I think just common sense. If you can avoid crowded settings, if you aren't around people, it can't be passed. In between, but it's basically distancing. If you're going to be within 6 feet for 15 minutes. Cumulative, you need to be masked, and you need to wash your hands, and do those things. There's really nothing else that I can suggest. Certainly, if you can keep up on your vaccinations, it's never too late to start the process. We don't know how long this is going to continue on. Certainly, it's going to go into late spring. I would suspect that we're going to continue to see respiratory disease, and those things help. Prevent passing flu and RSV and those other respiratory illnesses. So that's all we've got. Procedure masks are what you need. They're available everywhere. Cloth masks do not work. So again, I would suggest that grab yourself a procedure mask. They're readily available and wear those when you're in a public setting.
Okay, Bob, we'll really appreciate your time. I know we've had a really lot of different topics here to broach, but really appreciate you joining us here to touch base on all of those and looking forward to bringing you back on here in a couple of weeks, if not sooner, for another update.
Okay. All right. Glad to do it.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, Bob Wright, CEO, Newman Regional Health, on our Primetime Newsmaker, Chuck.
All right, and if you'd like to be part of the Newsmaker slots, we're filling in next week pretty quickly. Right now, the 26th and the 28th are the only ones that we do have available. So call us at 620-342-1400 or email kvwe@kvwe.com. A couple of our guests in the Newsmaker segment tomorrow have already been on our airwaves, but this is going to be for an entirely different discussion point. We'll have Emporia Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder. We have Interim Assistant Superintendent for Human Resources Brad Kempf, and both Emporia School Board President and Kansas Association of School Board President-elect Art Gutierrez joining us here. We're talking about local and state action to maintain teacher numbers as the COVID-19 pandemic continues.
All right, looking forward to that. Our Newsmaker this morning brought to you by MRSK Buildings. They construct all types of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges today, 620-340-7732, MRSK Buildings. KBOE Live and Local, it is 740, 6 degrees, wind chill of -7, weather next.
House of Ma is hiring for waitstaff. No experience necessary. If you enjoy a flexible